Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The OG of Jets podcasting and blogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Play Like a Jet Digital.
Welcome back to They're Always Next Year. Guys, we made it. We made it here to next year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett, and with me, as always, are Travis Milton and Josh Conrad. We are taping this Monday after the Jets' victory, 17-3, in a very snowy Foxborough over the New England Patriots in what appears to be Bill Belichick's last game as a New England Patriot head coach. Josh, the Jets win. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I you know what? I felt good. The streak, the losing streak to New England is over. Let dead things stay.
It stopped at 47, right? Yeah, we ended at 47.
We finally, rivalry gotcha. Back on. Who won the last game, boys?
We're last back.
No, I felt good. It was just nice to end the season with a win. Whether we picked at 8 or at 15, didn't matter a ton. Doesn't look like this is the most, the deepest, 12 guys and we're at pick 13. It felt like if we're in that upper third of the draft, we're getting some quality guys that are going to drop to us. So, I just, you know what? Let's win some games. Let's win a game at the end of the season. Why not?
What do you say, Travis? Feeling the same way or different?
I was happy. I follow the Jets because I want to see the Jets win because I'm a Jets fan. Like I'm tired of looking to the future that may never come. I'm tired of going, oh, it's going to mess up our draft position when we don't have any track record, any solid track record to say that the draft is going to be amazing. I mean, if you really look at Douglas's drafts, you know. In retrospect, there's only one really good one. Why am I going to root for them to lose for the possibility again? It's like it's that hope that kills you. I'd rather have the endorphin rush now and go, hell yeah, we fucking won, instead of going, man, we fucking lost, and now we're not going to get this person or that person, and just let the cards fall.
Yeah, I'm with you. Once it was clear the Jets were not going to have a top four pick, let's say, like they weren't going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, at that point, it just kind of becomes okay. Like, let's just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a material difference one way or another. So, right, I might as well actually root for the team that I waste my time following. So yes, it felt good. It was one of those days where, you know, 6-3, 9-3 clearly could have won that game. It ended up, you know, Bailey Zappe eventually imploded. I mean, how special was that to watch a guy like give up the ball you know, get the ball back and then just give it up again. That was pretty special. I really appreciated seeing Breece Hall's, penguin slide into the end zone. That was pretty sweet.
That was fun.
That was fun. So how can you feel bad when you're sitting at home watching a snow game of your team beating their, vaunted rival or, whatever, enemy. And for that, that way for Bill Belichick to end his career, there is this perverse thinking, and I've even been part of it, where it's like, well, of course Bill Belichick lost that game, because if it's just another way for him to screw the Jets, he's going to do it. But I have to think that he wasn't out there trying to lose so that he could ruin the Jets draft pick. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was just, he's outmanned and outclassed, and he shouldn't be in charge of, picking team personnel, because it clearly does not work. And, it worked in spite of Brady for, the last 5 or 8 years of Brady's time there. And now it's just, now it's really falling apart. So, on the whole, I'm happy that they ended up with a win. Saw some good things. I think things that I didn't need out of this win was, I didn't need to see Joe Tippmann get carted off the field. I did not need to see that. And although he avoided it, I did not need to see Breece Hall have a season ending injury, but to his credit, he stayed healthy for whatever 40 carries or whatever he had. Where has that been all year? And why didn't they do that? I don't know, 2-3 months ago. I'm not saying that I want Breece Hall to get 40 carries every game, but certainly, the playing it cute like they were early in the year wasn't working for them, and they could have just ridden this guy and they didn't. And so now that it's totally meaningless, now he gets 40 carries so that he gets 1500 scrimmage yards. I guess. They really wanted to get him to 1,000 yards, but then once they did that, why didn't they just take him off the field? So that was the stuff that I didn't want to see. The Joe Tippmann thing specifically, he's got a long off season and I think he'll be fine, but we're trying to build for something. We're trying to build for next year. Right. So what are we doing putting players in those kind of positions this year? I don't know. What do you think about that, Travis?
I mean, last game of the year, I would have had Izzy in there at that point after he crossed the threshold. I do feel like, 3-4 games, 5 games, 6 games, whatever. He should have been getting, 25, 30 carries. I'm sorry. That's one thing that irks me about the modern NFL. If you want to act like running backs are disposable, why are you limiting them to, these running back by committees? Let that dude out there and let him run, Curtis Martin was out there, 32 years old, having 30, 40 carries a game. Dude was still rolling. Running backs can do it. I don't understand that portion of the game and how that's changed, because, it can set up the passing, passing game, a lot of things. If you got a good back, ride the hot hand. I would not have done what they did to him yesterday, but I feel like, in the season, he should have been getting way, way more carries once they realized that he was back to form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, similar. Even in a more modern sense, if the model of where this Jets team could have been, the last 2 years may be a little bit different, but go back 3-4 years, and the reason that people didn't want to play the Titans was you've got to battle with Derrick Henry all day, and they've got a really good defense. And so what didn't make sense to me this year, the moment Rodgers went down, and again, we can do the postmortems. Maybe this is the week to do the postmortem, but the plan B that was never fully developed, which should have been, we're going to limit Zach Wilson or Trevor Siemian or whoever to 15 passing attempts, a la Ryan Tannehill. We don't want you making 1,000 mistakes, and we're going to run the ball 30 to 40 times a game. And if we can hold teams to under 20 points, we like our chances in that scenario. I don't know why that wasn't maybe fully unleashed at some point other than in a game that was completely meaningless at the end of the season. And I know we can talk offensive line, all that stuff. Like it is all relative to each other. But that's the identity of a team that when the whole league is zigging, you've got to zag. And so if you can play really great defense, run the ball between Izzy, even Dalvin, and certainly Breece Hall getting 80% of those carries, that's at least something. That's at least something to hang your hat on that, listen, we lost Rodgers early and we pivoted to becoming a very run heavy offense. And just everybody knows it and they know they got to put up with it all day. And no defense wants to have 15 yard drives on them with 4 yards a carry, grinding out first downs, eating up the clock. And eventually you lean on them long enough and you can make some home run plays. So I'm with you, Travis. It would have been very nice to see that all season, because clearly it was a much more winning formula than the one we seem to roll out there every single week.
It did not make sense to me why they didn't go with that. At the same time, like what we saw yesterday, especially while their, you know, offensive line was imploding, but you know, I mean, Travis, I'm curious what you would say, but you know, while their offensive line imploding, it was hard for them to run the ball effectively. But even so, it clearly they were trying to get Breece 1,000 yards rushing. They came 6 yards short on 37 carries. I appreciate the effort. They didn't get there for him on the year, but you know, I would imagine if I'm Breece, you got to feel good about the fact that the team is really kind of saying, "Hey, you're our guy, and we want to get this for you." But like, I guess the question that I have for you, Travis, is, and you know, this is armchair quarterbacking. This is, you know, having a time machine and going back in time to kill Hitler or whatever. But like, if they had just run the ball more over the course of the year, as opposed to throwing the ball, I think they were one of the teams that threw the ball the most all season, in terms of like rates or whatever. Like, would they have sustained less injuries on their offensive line, do you think?
I don't know that it would have. I don't know that it would have helped injuries, but I think the biggest key is if they had stuck to running and the formula that they finally figured out over the past 3 weeks of the season is that, and I will forever, this quote will forever live in my mind of Nathaniel Hackett saying, "I wasn't prepared for how good he was in the passing game in regards to Breece Hall." Mm-hmm. If they had incorporated those short out of the backfield screens that destroy our defense every week, that would have helped. Right. I mean, those are quick outs. That would have helped with injuries, but that would have also helped the run game, helped build the run game. It would have helped build the play action pass. Like all of this stupid movement that they're doing up front, you know, didn't help anything, didn't help with penalties, didn't help with injuries. The biggest thing with the line, I think, was just having to shuffle it. You know, you've got a, they're actually, I think a couple of people are actually copping to it now, saying that, you know, the biggest issue with ABT isn't that he's injury prone. It's that we've moved him around everywhere. It's like when you have to have different stances, you have to have different, you know, your push-offs are at different points. You're working different muscles that you're not used to working when you move from a guard to a tackle, you know, or from a right tackle to a left tackle. Your body doesn't get that muscle memory or anything. You're just kind of, your body's left guessing, which, you know, is something that can fuck you up real bad if you're even in the gym, let alone doing a professional sport. I think that was the biggest issue. That and turf. We can talk about the turf all day long, but I do think that getting Breece Hall engaged, maybe not necessarily the running game, but getting Breece Hall more engaged earlier would have helped with the offensive line, would have helped with a lot of things.
Yeah, I think you're right. It wouldn't have maybe altered the whole course of the season, but yeah, I do think involving him, I understand their hesitance to kind of go at it and, you know, give him the ball too much, but you know, obviously Dalvin Cook was not the answer. They didn't have the answers on the roster. I thought that was a really deep group. And then, you know, they obviously, Michael Carter was not, you know, long for the organization after yelling at coaches and, you know, that kind of quietly was put to bed later. And then, yeah, they just, the group was not as I think we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year, which is a shame. I mean, I certainly hope that they think about it and consider it and, you know, figure out what to add, but like at the three spot next year. But then, yeah, like put all your chips into kind of changing the offensive line as we've talked about. One of the big areas that the Jets are not making any changes on, it sounds like, are the coaching staff and front office, right? So we've known that that Joe Douglas and Mike, that Robert Saleh are safe, have been safe, but kind of leaking out today, Monday, it sounds like Todd Downing and Keith Carter are also safe. So I'm curious, Travis, for your thoughts on that. And then Josh, you go after that. But yeah, what are your thoughts on? I mean, we've talked a lot about Keith Carter. We thought, you know, it was just a matter of time before he was fired. Clearly that's not the case. Why would you fire those guys? And then why would you not fire those guys? I guess is what I'm asking.
I don't have a why would you not. Like, I am literally at a fucking loss on that one, dude. I swear to God, I don't have enough words for how bad of a job I think Keith Carter did this year. The amount of penalties, the lack of discipline, the lack of the, you know, you can argue all day long that the lack of synergy and gelling on the offensive line affected a lot of stuff. And sure, it does. But that's your fucking job, is to minimize that. You're the coach. It's your job to make sure that that's minimized. And hearing things like what Hackett said and seeing, you know, how Carter coached this squad was completely and utterly reactionary at every point. And that's, I think that's the biggest problem with this team, and has probably been for 40 years. It's completely and utterly reactionary, no matter what. Like, how we draft tends to be reactionary. How they coach is reactionary. There's big swings. The first thing I said in our first episode of the year, overreactions, being reactionary. And that's what I saw out of this team all year long. And, you know, things that needed to be addressed weren't addressed in the right way. And we would go into, you know, like Josh was saying, it's like, we lose a quarterback. What do? We lean into passing. That doesn't sound fucking right. That's a zag. That's not a good zag. Like,
right.
You know, that's not when it's like, oh yeah, you don't think I'm gonna pass? Fuck you. Here's some Zach Wilson down your throat.
Take some of this.
Yeah. I've never really liked Carter. Downing, I feel like really just kind of fits in as a messenger. It all goes back to Hackett. Like, I really feel like it's, you know, Hackett's the biggest issue in all of this. And, you know, if anybody wants to look to the future, don't be banking on us winning or losing a game to get a better draft pick. Start looking post Aaron Rodgers, post this regime, because like what we have is what we have. And it's going to be that way because of Aaron Rodgers. And if you didn't think that was going to be the case when we went after him, you're fucking learning now. And, you know, he better be the fucking second coming of Jesus next year, or else like it's not going to happen. I think somebody said that in our group chat and cracked me up.
What do you think about the retention of these guys, Josh?
I don't know if there's a lot of, it's so tricky, because I've been a part of organizations and workplaces where like there's a lot of turnover and that's not healthy. I've also been places where there is no turnover and that's just as unhealthy. Like, it is, right. It is not wise to just retain guys and go, is everything defended by Aaron Rodgers Achilles being blown out? Like, right. Every little detail, we're just going to pretend like we're going to hit restart on the Super Nintendo and just go back to the start. Like, I don't understand why we can't still objectively judge anything. Like, NFL coaches they're like cockroaches. Like, you can throw a nuclear bomb at them and they will find the way to philosophize their way out of being fired. Well, this didn't happen, or Nat Hackett, I was unfamiliar with your game. Like, I don't understand.
With the best collegiate running back ever.
Yeah. Like,
I was not prepared for how good you were. What?
Like, it's George Costanza-ing at epic levels. Like, there is nothing that these guys can't seemingly talk themselves out of. And when you have incompetent to, at the very best, mediocre coaches above you, and some of, you know, offensively, defensively, head coach, like, everything starts to be like, well, okay, let's give it another shot. Let's see how this goes. Like, there's no urgency in this building. Today's been a weird day of quotes from everybody other than Aaron Rodgers going, we're all on the hot seat next year. He's the only one saying it, and he's the guy rehabbing off an injury, and he's going, if I don't perform, like, I'm out of here. Like, he's the only guy that seems to get what the rest of the league gets, which is, this is a perform now and succeed now, and that's what keeps you around, unless seemingly you are a mediocre coach on the Jets, in which case we'll just keep you around for as long as humanly possible. It makes no sense to me why not one significant change is going to be made to this coaching staff. I do not understand it.
Every time Robert Saleh puts his head in his hands, all I can think of is George Costanza when he's sitting there with Jerry at the diner, telling him, like, all you got to do is just, like, put your head in your hands and look, like, perturbed. And everyone thinks that you're busy and stressed out.
Right.
Like,
look annoyed all the time. And everyone will be so annoyed busy all the time.
Oh, that, I wish that. Yeah. When you're in a remote work situation, what does that look like, though? What does that look like? I don't know. I guess my dog thinks I'm annoyed all the time. I don't know. It is this weird thing. I think, we need some sort of blood sacrifice, and the fact that there's nothing. And the way that, right. I mean, like, we can talk about those first four snaps forever, right? Like, and people really did all season. Like, well, the way that Rodgers was, you know, he didn't throw the ball quickly, or the way that they were setting up and, you know, to protect him. And, like, I mean, I really hope that if we are keeping Todd Downing and Keith Carter on this, you know, as part of this offensive staff with Nat Hackett, who is not prepared for how good Breece Hall was. Like, it's so insane to me that it's like, hey, you know, rather than, like, use you in screen passes, or, you know, send you out, you know, kind of like motion you out and use you as a receiver, like, I didn't know you were really that good. So, like, I just wanted to slam you into the back of our offensive line 16 times a game. Like, that was my whole plan for you. Like, well, it's just such classic, like, to the point of, like, coach narrative and being able to talk themselves out of anything. Like, it just goes to show, like, that ownership just has no clue what they're doing, and they have no way to measure these guys. And so they just listen to all this nonsense narrative and just, like, okay, yeah, you're right. Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. So the fact that you're, you know, total offensive scheme and the way that you're, you know, zone blocking with these players, you know, well, I'll just forgive all that. Sure. What? No, that doesn't work for me in my job. Doesn't work for Travis in his job. Doesn't work for Josh in his job. Right. Like, we don't want to, you know, cull everything, but at the same time, right, like, some sort of tweaks are required. But I guess what Saleh would say is, no, these were the tweaks from last year. Remember, like, these guys were new last year. They're the new blood. It's like, well, maybe the new blood isn't, maybe it's infected. I don't know.
Well, it speaks to what you were talking about earlier with the running back group. Like, were they really not as deep as we thought they were, or were they just all utilized incorrectly? I mean, there's historically, any person on this podcast right now, or any person on this podcast network, could tell you that Michael Carter is not that great in the passing game. And what did they mainly try to utilize him for?
Passing game work.
In the passing game. You know, dude took the fall because he was in a spot that he typically doesn't catch the ball or fumbles it. You know, were they just utilized improperly? I mean, I think that statement alone says that, you know, there wasn't enough, you know, they had a preset idea of how they wanted this to shake out, and it didn't work. So they just imploded it. And then afterwards they were like, oh shit. Wow. You know what? We probably could have kept Michael Carter and maybe used him as a third down back, which he was always effective as.
Right.
And, you know, split Breece out a little more often. You know, it's it's insane with the overreaction and how things went. And it was all based off of having a preset plan and then going, shit, that didn't work. So did anyone do a plan B?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
All right, let's flip over to the players that are currently on expiring contracts. We've talked about this in the past, but yeah, this came up in our group chat. So I wanted to just take an opportunity to go through this because, right, this will be one of the first sets of hurdles that the Jets are going to face here as they step into the off season. So this was posted on Instagram by NY Jets family, and so they put these all out there. It's a good list. I think we've talked through some of these guys, but let's go through this list. And, you know, today is locker clean out day or baggy day, whatever they call it, where the players are U-Haul day, where they're kind of, you know, getting all their crap out of the facility because it's unclear, you know, what their futures are going to be, especially the ones that are on expiring contracts. So, you know, one of the players who's already made a statement and basically said, look, there's going to be no home team discount is the first guy on this list, who is Bryce Huff. So, like, we're going to go through the list of all the expiring players. And, you know, obviously some will go quickly, more quickly than others. But what do the Jets do with Bryce Huff, Josh?
Offer him whatever he asks. Don't, like, really? don't play the game. Don't make him take other meetings. You put out a baller offer in front of that guy. Like a top 10 edge rusher should get. Like, don't mess around with this. Like, don't get cute. Don't screw around. Like, just this is the, and it's more than Bryce. Like, him saying, I'm not going to take the home team discount is well within his rights. And I urge every player to make as much stinking money as you possibly can.
Yep.
But this is the signal to Garrett and to Sauce and to Breece. Like, when we have a guy that's this good at his position, we take care of him. Like, you have to lean all the way in here and just, like, make him say no to a ridiculously big contract. I hope they just go all the way to the hilt. Quinnen levels. Like, don't mess around. He's that good. The stats back it up. The eye test backs it up. His teammates love him. Guys are begging him to stay. Like, don't mess around with this. Offer him the world. Make him stay in the building.
What do you think, Travis?
Tag him and continue negotiating. I freaking love Bryce Huff. I've got a Bryce Huff jersey. I don't want that to be another one in my Jarvis Landry pile of
used to be
former Jets.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, we sunk a lot of, well, we sunk a first round draft pick in McDonald. He's not going to see the field until Breece Hall is not there. Give it a year, continue negotiating. We're going to get rid of Carl Lawson no matter what. That will hopefully free up some time for McDonald, but it'll give some time to figure out if McDonald can be a replacement for Huff on that edge. Will it piss off Huff? Maybe, but you know, if at least we're going to look at, you know, possibly getting some compensation, you know, tag him, trade is a possibility. I don't want him to go anywhere, but just on a realistic note, you know, what we're looking at over the next few years and where our salary cap is, you know, I think that we tag him, try to keep negotiating and see where it goes.
Mm. So the just to help us understand what we're talking about, right? I would assume that Huff would fall under either the defensive end or linebacker tags, which are not that different, couple million. But like, so let's just use the DN because it's the worst of the two, or the bigger of the two is what I mean to say. So like the DN is 23 million for the franchise tag, about 20 million. Or the transition tag. And then like, if you look at the like spending for edges, like I'm just going over to Spot Track, like, so the top guy at the edge position is TJ Watt at about $29 million cap hit, 2023. And then if you go down to around like the 10th player, we're now into kind of like the Matthew Judon, Miles Garrett, Brian Burns, Joey Bosa, Trey Hendrickson, Shaq Thompson category. Like Shaq is 13th and he's at 14 million and Judon is up at 16.4, around 10 is about 16 million. So you got to expect there's going to be some sort of inflation between this year and next year. So we're talking about, guys, at least $17 million per year for Bryce Huff. The Jets have roughly that currently in open cap space.
Yep.
And that puts them right in the middle of the pack between, like, you know, teams that have like 60 million open and like negative 80 million, like the Saints or whatever. So, so I guess my point is, like, you need to free up other things, Josh, in 2024. If you're going to make this hire, if you're going to bring this guy back, like, what are you willing to sacrifice to keep Huff here?
Yeah. That's a great question. I wonder if in the Aaron Rodgers pile of toys that he brought with him, there's enough salary, Alan Lazard and whoever, that
Lazard is stuck. Island.
We can't scrape that dude off. Dead money.
Yeah, he is all dead money for us, baby. Oh, baby. Yeah, that's true. Cobb is, he won't be, he's a one and done. Like, I mean, I guess they could give him another vet minimum. But yeah, for 2024, just looking now, what is Lazard's number? It's brutal. It's
22.
His cap number is okay. So he has a $12 million cap number, but it's an $18 million if you like, in terms of dead money. If you were to cut him before June, it's $18 million in dead money. So that's basically the difference. That's the Bryce Huff contract in dead money. Just for fun. Isn't that fun? Like, hopefully he gets better, because like, there's no world in which Alan Lazard is not on this team. If you make him a post June cut, then it moves to about $12 million. But anyway, I'm going to take a very unpopular position, which is, if the Jets think that McDonald is the player that they tell us he is, and I do not want to see Bryce Huff go, but it's just a sad reality. I do not think you can keep him in. There's no, unless you backload this contract, so, you know, put in a bunch of void years and stuff like that, like, and you really start paying him out in like 3 years, like, or you do just a bunch of, you know, whatever, you know, bonus nonsense, like, which is fine, but like, I just don't know that he's a guy that they can afford to keep. I would love it if they did. And you're right, you need to reward guys like this. I just don't know if he's the guy that gets the reward, because Quinnen got his, and then you got to pay this guy. and you're blocking a spot for Will McDonald, who, like, he needs to develop. They've got this rotation going. I mean, who knows? We'll see if Jeff Ulbrich goes anywhere. It doesn't seem like his name is being talked about a lot today on Monday for interviews. It certainly could happen, but, like, I just feel like he's going to be a casualty of this process. But, like, if you're really set on keeping him, I guess the way to do it is you do a transition tag, which means that you kind of, it's like a right of first refusal tag. But, like, then you get compensated. Basically, no players get transition tag, or very few do. And most players who do wind up back with that team. But, like, Travis, I do like your idea of, like, if you can kick it down the road a year, like, but this is going to mean they're going to need to make some other cuts, and there's just not a lot of other cuts. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot of
free money. Like, we just cut Carl Lawson. Like, he's actually in this list. Like, but, like, we just cut Carl Lawson and we get $15 million back. Like, there's nothing like that really this year for this team, unfortunately. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So next guy on the list, that was one, Mekhi Becton. What do we do with Mekhi Becton, Travis?
If there's a guy that's going to give a home team discount, it's going to be Becton. I didn't love his year, but there's so many holes you have to fill on the offensive line. And I really think if you can get Becton back at a, you know, low risk, you know, not insane money contract, mm-hmm. I say go for it. I really think that, you know, he didn't have the best year. He had a lot of penalties and gave up a crap ton of pressures and sacks. But, you know, I think that if we can shore up the rest of the line, you know, I'd rather have one worry than five. I really do think that his comments about wanting to come back, play with Aaron Rodgers, he loves that guy to death. I think with his injury history, he can't really command anything big. It might be a 1 year deal, but you know, the devil, you know, is better than being out there, looking at the devil you don't know.
If he comes back and he plays for this team, do you keep him at left tackle, Travis, or do you move him to right, or have we learned our lesson there, or what do we do with that left-right situation?
I would move him. To be honest, I'd move him back to right. I think he played where did he finish the season at, left or right?
He finished at left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would move him back to right, even though it's not his natural position. He seemed to play better. Granted, he was there, you know, a little bit more limited than he was left. Mm-hmm. I would move him to right and just make him the right tackle.
I mean, it's like everything I know about this guy. Like, I get why playing the left tackle position is kind of like the, you know, whatever preeminent position to play. But, like, yeah. Everything about him, everything about his style, everything about, like, his game screams, like, road grading right tackle. Like,
yeah,
why can we not just play the guy? And I get it, you got to flip and you got to flip everything around in your brain, and that makes sense, but, like, give him a good contract. Like, basically, here's the deal. Like, in Tomlinson, right, like, he's his cap number next year is $18 million. You're gonna pay Tomlinson $18 million. So what you do, you basically you know, you designate him as a post June 1, what is Lakin? Then it becomes basically instead of like a $10 million dead money, it's like a $6 million dead money with about 13 in savings. You take the money from Lakin Tomlinson when you punt him into the fucking atmosphere, and then you use that to pay Mekhi Becton. You move Mekhi Becton to right at 10. You take your tackle, your left tackle or whatever. Like, and then, and you just go, right? Like, that alone would just do so much for this group.
See, I think if we took a left tackle and a center in the draft, move Tippmann
to guard. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby.
I think that we would be in a great spot.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Any thoughts on that one on Becton there, Joshy?
When he says home team discount, I'm expecting that this is a Tobias Funke fire sale level discount. Everything must go. Like, Mackay, like, we're talking
league
minimums.
Everybody's talking about that Funke.
Everybody, yeah. Funke, some kind of something.
Is Mackay singing Amazing Grace as he signs his contract? What's happening?
100%. Yes. Like, it's got to be such a ridiculous discount for me to even entertain the thought of relying on that guy. And you have to immediately have a backup for him at or near his level of play, because we're three years in and it's an unreliable player. Like, his body cannot stay on the field. And when he has, he's very up and down. And so you cannot depend on him, you know, just going, oh, he's a top 10 pick. He's a top 10 pick. Like, that's cool. 3-4 years ago, when the potential was still there, we have enough tape and enough injury history to have to go down to near league minimums at that position before I'm even somewhat interested in bringing him back. So I know he probably will be back, but I'm not thrilled about it.
All right. I'll put this group together as a group of three here. Thomas Morstead, punter, Greg Zuerlein, kicker, and Gunner, Justin Hardy, like, special team captain. What do you do with those three? You taking them back, Josh?
Taking them all back in that order. That would be my order. Yeah. Thomas Morstead is probably in the top 5 to 7 punters in the league. That guy is amazing. I love Greg the Leg. That guy's had a bunch of big kicks for us. Hopefully he's kicking a lot more extra points and field goals next year. And I love Justin Hardy. Like, I love all three of those guys. If you can make the numbers work, then I think they're all worth bringing back rather than wild cards at those positions.
All right, let's look at the corner. The defensive backs who would be leaving. All right, Travis, I'll let you have your word here. You've already said this, so this might not be a shock.
I'm gonna say it again.
You're gonna say it again. All right, so
I'm doubling the fuck down.
I love it. All right, of the defensive back group, we've got Bryce Hall, cornerback; Chuck Clark, safety. Then we also have the big two, Jordan Whitehead and Ashton Davis. What are you doing with that group?
Roll it back, Ashton fucking Davis. That is my. I swear to God, I'm on the verge of him being the first jersey of 2024.
Wow.
Yep, I've done a total 180.
Yes.
I really like what he did this year with the time that he had. I thought he played really, really good in the Patriots game. Down the stretch, he played really, really great. I think it would be a manageable contract. Considering he hasn't really poured it on until this year, which worries me a little bit because it is contract year.
Right.
Yep.
But at the same time, we all knew that he was pretty raw coming out of college. So it did take a little bit of time. But Ashton Davis is my one. He's my one re-sign there.
All right. I like it.
Sticking by it.
I like that. I think that's a good signing. PFF graded out for the year 74.8 or something like that. Right. He didn't have a ton of stats there, and he didn't get like a ton of playing time. But, I think – to your point, like, he played well when he did. He probably would come cheaply. I don't know. Any thoughts on that group there, Josh?
I'm fine getting rid of most of those guys. I will not be buying an Ashton Davis jersey, but I will like the photos of Travis in them.
Yeah, there you go. I will like the photos of Travis. I will heart his photos. I love it. Okay. Next group here. What do we got? So let's talk about defensive linemen. Quinton Jefferson, who he says he's going to be healthy for the start of the season. Solomon Thomas, Broadway fan. Carl Lawson, I'll lump him into this group. Al Woods and Ifeadi Odenigbo. I'm not going to say that, but Odenigbo. Okay, so of those guys, who do you want back? I have some thoughts. Any guys specifically you want back for them for next year?
I'd go Solly and Quentin out of that bunch.
Yep, I was going to say the same. I like Solomon first. Quentin maybe doesn't fit long term, but I do like Solomon Thomas a lot coming back.
Right, Quentin could be good because he'll, coming off injury, like, it's hard to know what the market will bear for someone like him. Solomon Thomas is clearly a leader. You know, he's someone you can live without, but he's certainly a good player to have. And I think, you know, he clearly likes this offense. He likes his coaching staff. He likes New York. He likes to get to go to his Broadway shows. So I think there's a lot of reasons why Solomon Thomas would want to be in New York, and hopefully, sign a good, you know, fair deal for him. But, you know, like, he is the kind of player that you could imagine some rebooting organization would look to kind of as a way to, I don't know, create like a culture signing, like an overpay culture signing. So, like, I hope that Thomas is back. I could just see him winding up in a, I don't know, you know, if the Falcons hire a defensive minded head coach or something, like they bring in someone like him to be one of the kind of pace setters for the group. But like, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys. All right. What else we got? Okay. Offensive line. Oh yeah. Well, the one that we didn't even talk about. Sorry.
Billy.
You don't have to bring his name up.
Sorry.
I was waiting for Billy.
We'll go to that for a second, but we didn't even talk about Carl Lawson. Like I just cannot wait for him to not be on this team, because like, just that contract alone is just such an albatross. Like, I just do not want to see that name ever again. Goodbye. Maybe that should be my like jersey purchase, and then the number I can just put like whatever his, you know, full fair contract value was for the team. Jeez. all right. Offensive line. Yes, yeah, spinning it forward to offensive line. Sorry, I just false started you guys there. We got two outgoing player, no, three. Well, Mekhi we already talked about, and then the other two in that group. Oh, there's more.
You got three.
Connor McGovern at center. We got Dwayne Brown. Remember, Dwayne Brown plays on this team. And then he OT does. Billy Turner. All right, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing?
Travis.
Yeah.
Take out the trash.
You firing into the sun, Travis?
Billy fucking Turner, man. God, no goodbyes, no nothing. Lock the fucking door. Don't let him back in.
Yes,
Dwayne Brown, I mean, his shit should have been gone like freaking week two. I mean, the dude hasn't. I don't hate McGovern, but like, there's no need for him. Tippmann showed he can be a solid center if we don't go after one in the draft. Tippmann showed he can be a solid guard. Like, there's no reason to even look to McGovern.
It would be a mistake if we don't draft a center in like the third round or something like that.
Yeah, that would be a big mistake. But yeah, Billy Turner can go fuck himself. God.
any other thoughts on that, Josh?
I'd love Billy Turner to collab with the New York City Transit Authority and let's get my guy's name on a turnstile somewhere in downtown Manhattan. I would love
Memorial Turnstile. It's always broken, right?
I would love nothing more than to sit my boys up on my lap and tell them the tale of old Billy Turnstile Turner and where you can go see the turnstile in Midtown, where you can just walk right through at any moment you want.
Times Square at the Grand Central Station connector to Times Square. There's a turnstile, Billy Turner. I love it. I'm in. Let's make it happen. Let's go fund me this one. All right. Last group, as far as I can tell, or last player from this group is there's just one wide receiver that we're not going to have back. I already mentioned it earlier, Randall Cobb. How are we feeling about the Cobb mob, Joshy?
Cobb mob. Listen, it was fun while it lasted for that episode and a half of Hard Knocks. We're grateful for all you didn't do for us all year. Thanks for holding down a roster spot that should have very quickly been turned over much sooner in the season. Randall, maybe Aaron drives you to the airport. He daps you up and tells you that he'll see you in Canton or something, but it's not going to be any more plays on this roster for him.
So you're telling me the one catch for 4 yards did not change your tune yesterday?
No, and I'd like to talk about the specific moments that made Travis feel so good about Ashton Davis back to the point of buying a jersey. What point did that happen? I have been flummoxed since those words left your lips. We'll have to take that one offline, but I need to know more.
All right, Travis, here's Randall Cobb's career-ending stat line with the Jets. All right, 17 targets, 5 receptions for 39 yards and 1 touchdown. So is that pretty good? What do you think? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, man.
Ring of honor.
Better, it's slightly better than I could do.
Is Randall Cobb? I'm just getting into the bear, Travis. Is Randall Cobb your who's the girl like sous chef who is always stressing out because nobody listens to her?
I forget her name. She just won an Emmy yesterday, but she's great.
Yeah, maybe her name's Emmy. I don't know. Is Randall Cobb like the Emmy of the bear of beef?
No,
is
I know.
No.
I got this on lockdown, but I want to hear Travis first.
No, it's her counterpart, the older dude.
Yes,
that doesn't want to doesn't want
Ibrahim.
To how he does things.
Yes,
yeah.
Ibra.
Yeah. Yep.
Ibra. Okay.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's right. 1,000% who he is.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm gonna smash the rest of the bear episodes in the next week or two, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk more about the offseason. We're gonna talk more about Aaron Rodgers. We're gonna talk more about Aaron Rodgers saying that he wants, you know, to do multiple years. We're gonna talk about Aaron Rodgers. You know, maybe
are we bringing back Brett Ripien?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot. Yes. Well, hell yes. Of course.
How
of course
did we're you bringing forget? Up.
NFL royalty, Brett Rippon. Yes, of course. But we're going to talk about all those things. Yes, go ahead, Josh.
I propose our off season podcast schedule shifts into fall bear talk, and I would love to again, Travis. Like for Travis, Ashton Davis is now his Marcus. Like he is seeing growth in him that no one else saw, and we could do 40 minutes on that.
Yep.
That's good.
You are correct.
And Sydney. We were all trying to name it. It's Sid. Sydney.
Sydney. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
I'm definitely Ricky or Richie or whatever. Richie. I'm Richie. I'm the Richie.
I just want to be Uncle Jimmy. I love Uncle Jimmy. I love Oliver Platt. That guy's my guy.
Many, I have 40 Carmy moments a day.
You got some Uncle Jimmy's chasing you around the kitchen, Trav?
Business partners.
Well, guys, this has been fun. I mean, I'm glad we talked through some of this. I'm glad we got this out. I hope that some of our listeners have cathartically, therapeutically enjoyed our talks this year. We will continue in the off season. It probably won't be on the every week basis, but yeah, there's still lots to talk about. You know, players are getting, I mean, coaches are getting fired and GMs are getting fired all over the place. So there's going to be some interesting fallout, especially in the East. Like whatever happens with the Belichick job, that's going to be very interesting. You know, Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, he's coming back.
He's looming. I mean, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I think I go to San Diego or whatever, Los Angeles to the Chargers. But like, you know, he's looming, and I am very worried about where Jim Harbaugh is going
to
wind up
coaching. Chicago.
Yeah,
he'll be the coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Or wait, are they bringing back
the grounds?
Is Eberflus back, or what? Have they announced anything?
They haven't announced anything. So
that guy's got.
I'm sure Jim Harbaugh's new agent Don Yee is talking to the McCaskill family as we speak. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, him going to New England would be like the most.
Nah.
It would be the most Jets move ever, like for that to have happened. Like, okay, cool. Now this guy's here. Okay, awesome. Now I get to deal with this for the next 10 years until he's becomes totally insufferable and stealing signs.
Well, listen, we felt that way about Mac Jones, and I'm pretty sure we would love Mac Jones to be in this conference for 10 more years. I would love to play that guy twice a year.
What if Belly came to Woody Johnson and said, "Yo, bygones are bygones. If you want to get rid of Sala, I'm in."
Yeah.
No, because then they'll sign a one-day contract. And then
exactly.
He'll remain.
Yeah, and go, burn!
My guard is up. My guard is up with the Emperor forever.
Yeah, I think that's wise. I think that's wise. Very wise. All right, gentlemen, this has been fun. Thanks for talking. Listeners, thanks for listening as always. Again, thanks for sticking with us this season. Obviously, I was on the DL last week. I had a pretty bad cold, and so no podcast, but we'll get a couple extras in before now in the Super Bowl as we try and figure out what the heck this team is going to do to actually run it back. Are they running it back? I don't know if you can run what we just did.
We're jogging it back.
Ashton Davis is going to run it back.
Yeah, Ashton Davis is running it back. The rest of the team is not running it back. Please do not run it back. 2023. But all right.
Three people believe in Ashton Davis, his agent, his mom, and Travis.
Correct.
Oh, man. All right. Just fly high, guys. All right, everybody. That's my advice to you as we get out of here. Fly high, get above those crows, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.